Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, October 13th, and I am reading from the New International Version. I'm actually podcasting from the closet because one of my children is at home sick, but hopefully on the mend, and the good news is it is not COVID, so we're thankful for that. We're continuing on in the book of 1 John to start today, and the theme of love comes up again and again. Yesterday, I think I counted 9 times that the word love appeared in 1 John chapter 3, and I'm wondering if you might want to count along today. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak with a viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, and so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Okay, how many did you get? How many times did you count love or a word loved or loves? I counted 27 times that John reminds us that we must love in the same way that God has loved us, with sacrificial love, with unconditional love, and with brotherly love. Let's move now to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who is the maker of heaven and earth. And now let's turn over to the book of Esther. Yesterday we finished up the book of Daniel, and today we're starting the book of Esther. As always, you know what I'm going to say. Go to the Bible Project videos, which give you an overview of the book of Esther and tell you some interesting facts, one of which is that God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. So what do we do with this? Well, the Bible Project suggests that this is an invitation to look for God's activity throughout the book. Another thing that the Bible Project mentions is there is a lot of moral ambiguity in the book of Esther. There's a lot of drinking and murder. There's violations of the Torah commands. And the point is that despite exile and despite God's, quote, absence, and despite Israel's moral compromise, God has not abandoned His promises, and so He is going to see the people of Israel through. He is going to keep that line going, even using flawed people like Esther and Mordecai. And so even when we cannot see God at work, we can know that He is working. And He uses the faithfulness of even morally compromised people to accomplish His purposes. And so they land on two points. One, that we should know, even if we cannot see God's hand at work, that He is working and that He is committed to seeing His world redeemed. Esther chapter 1. This is what happened during the time of Xerxes. The Xerxes, who ruled over 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. At that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa, and in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials. The military leaders of Persia and Media, the princes and the nobles of the provinces were present. For a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet, lasting 7 days, in the enclosed garden of the king's palace, for all the people from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa. The garden had hangings of white and blue linen, fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant, in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink with no restrictions, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. On the 7th day, when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the 7 eunuchs who serve him, Mahuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abigtha, Zethar, and Karsus, to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. Since it was customary for the king to consult experts in matters of law and justice, he spoke with the wise men who understood the times and were closest to the king. Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Merez, Marcena, and Mamakon, the seven nobles of Persia and Media, who had special access to the king and were highest in the kingdom. According to the law, what must be done to Queen Vashti? He asked. She has not obeyed the command of King Xerxes that the eunuchs have taken to her. Then Mamakon replied in the presence of the king and the nobles, Queen Vashti has done wrong, not only against the king, but also against all the nobles and the peoples of all the provinces of King Xerxes. For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, and so they will despise their husbands and say, King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. This very day, the Persian and Median women of the nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to all the king's nobles in the same way. There will be no end of disrespect and discord. Therefore, if it pleases the king, let him issue a royal decree and let it be written in the law of Persia and Media, which cannot be repealed, that Vashti is never again to enter the presence of King Xerxes. Also, let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better than she. Then, when the king's edict is proclaimed throughout all his vast realm, all the women will respect their husbands, from the least to the greatest. The king and his nobles were pleased with this advice, so the king did as Mamakon proposed. He sent dispatches to all parts of the kingdom, to each province in its own script, and to each people in their own language, proclaiming that every man should be ruler over his own household, using his native tongue. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Well, as you can tell, Esther is going to be an interesting book, so I look forward to working through that one together. As we end today, I want to just focus back in on the importance of love for the believer. For God is love, and God calls us to be conduits of His love to all. Would you pray with me? Father of all compassion, thank you for displaying your love most clearly to us in Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to make a way so that we can have relationship with you. Thank you for surrounding us with people who display your love to us, who have loved us to you, who have shown us what it means to be your people. We pray, Lord, for Mount Brook Baptist Church and all the churches represented here. We ask, Lord, that your love would abound in our midst. And that ultimately, Lord, we would be able to say that we love God because we love one another. Bless those in our midst who need an extra special touch, for those who are grieving, for those who are sick and hurting. We pray for physical miracles that would then in turn result in spiritual awakening. Thank you, Lord, for this day and the opportunities it holds. Bless us, we pray, through Jesus our Lord. Amen.